This is the User Adoption Podcast with your host, Henrik Dagir.
Who are you and what do you do?
So my name's Angela Hausman, and I have kind of dual roles. Probably my biggest role is that I'm a marketing professor, most recently at George Washington University. And I also have a small consulting business where I consult on market research, innovation, adoption, digital media, a wide range of topics.
How are you involved with user adoption?
As an academic, I've published a number of papers on adoption diffusion. And the difference between adoption and diffusion is how you're looking at it. So adoption, we talk about consumer acceptance of the product. Diffusion, we talk about a more macro element of an innovation moving through a community, society, country kind of thing. They're related, but different viewpoints. So I started on the journey to innovation with my dissertation, which was on adoption of high-tech innovations in a medical context. And I continued that to the most recent papers that I had published in 2014, which looked at the role of America's declining innovativeness in both companies and in terms of patent applications, and how that may have contributed to the 2008 financial collapse. So that's from the academic standpoint. From the practitioner standpoint, I was involved for several years with a tech startup that had an extremely innovative product. And as the chief marketing officer, it was my role to try to gain adoption of this product. And we had a number of challenges because it was very, very different, and it was a difficult concept to explain to people in one or two sentences.
Angela, what are the biggest challenges and successes with user adoption?
So, huge number of challenges with adoption. I think one of the biggest challenges is trying to explain to consumers the relative advantage of the product that you've developed, and also showing them how this product easily fits into the kinds of things that they're already doing. And I think that it's overcoming these challenges that really contribute most to the success that Apple has had, in that when they developed the first iPod, for instance, it was very easy to understand. It was very easy to navigate because it used behaviors that people already were familiar with in terms of operating the iPod. And it was easy to explain. You no longer have to carry this bulky device around and all these CDs. Now you have everything digitally in this one device. You know, and they carried that through to the iPhone and the iPad. I think right now they're struggling, though, with trying to move into new spaces. Maybe that's a function of Steve Jobs and his untimely death, or it may be that somehow Apple has just kind of lost that innovative push. I think another challenge to user adoption really has absolutely nothing to do with customer acceptance of the product. I think it has to do with the process of new product development. And American companies have become so risk averse and so focused on dividends and profits and things like that, that they've taken a very short-term outlook and have failed to really develop the new innovative products that consumers would want to adopt.
And what advice would you like to share with people working on improving user adoption?
Communication is really the key to user adoption, to being able to very succinctly and in a very focused way describe how this product is going to make your life easier. Consumers don't buy products, which sounds kind of heretical, but they don't. What they buy is solutions to their problem. And so if their problem already has a product that's satisfactory for them, they're not highly motivated to adopt a new product. There's always a little bit of uncertainty, stickiness in terms of changing from one product to another. So if that problem has already been solved in a way that's satisfactory, you're going to have a really hard time. So for instance, I go to a lot of these meetups where entrepreneurs are pitching their new innovative products. And in many cases, they're going to have a huge uphill battle. For instance, one that I see quite frequently is a new take on Grubhub, for instance, where they've added one tiny little feature, and that's incredibly difficult to get consumers to adopt. Currently, the average consumer has about 30 apps on their phone. Of that, they use about 5 or 6 on a regular basis. So trying to convince them, even if it's free, to add one more app to their phone and then use it, unless that app makes their life much simpler, they're not going to adopt it. So the biggest advice that I have on consumer adoption, again, starts well before getting consumers to adopt, and it involves listening to consumers to see what problems they're articulating and then coming up with solutions to their problems. It's really the cart before the horse kind of thing to try and force adoption of a product that really didn't come from a distinct consumer need for that product.
Angela, where can we learn more about user adoption and your work on the subject?
You can find a lot of posts on my blog about the topic of adoption, diffusion, and innovation. And that is marketmaven.com. You can also find some more academic papers by searching for me and several other key authors by searching Google Scholar for topics on adoption and diffusion.
Well, thanks, Angela.
You're very welcome.
For more on this, visit useradoptionpodcast.com. Don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and review. And for a book about this, check out useradoptionbook.com. Tune in next week for the next episode. Thanks for listening.